Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be going to your calls in just a moment. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, if you have not yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can check out the latest edition on the web at equip.org. It is our award-winning magazine again. And it marries incredible content with incredible presentation. Subscribe at equip.org. Well, gender redefinition is the latest fad of the homosexual agenda. As such, Joe Dallas's book, which discusses these issues with kindness and clarity, is must reading. Again, the book titled Speaking of Homosexuality, Discussing the Issues with Kindness and Clarity, available for those who support the ministry. You can check that out as well on the web at equip.org. In the news today, appalling comments by Clinton campaign communications director and John Halpin as well, as they characterize the Roman Catholic teaching regarding gender as an amazing bastardization of the faith. Halpin going so far as to say that Christians must be attracted to severely backwards gender relations. So, if you believe that gender is based on biology, you have, in his view, not only bastardized the faith, but you are, well, severely backwards. All of this in concert with Clinton's characterization of those who oppose her views on gender as deplorables, who are largely irredeemable. If you don't agree with her, then you are someone who is, well, according to Team Clinton, backwards. I mean, think about that for a moment. Here's a view unheard of in Western civilization and largely in the civilization of the entire world up until just recently. Not even a view that was accepted by the prior Clinton administration. And yet today, we are asked to walk lockstep with this view, the view that feelings determine biology, not gender, not biology. I mean, this is a very serious issue with huge ramifications, not only, by the way, for freedom of speech, which is now under siege, religious liberty, which is under siege, but just on a purely personal human level, think about the children with hormone therapies. Their experiments. I mean, this is kind of like the eugenics craze when you think about it. All of a sudden, that was considered settled science. Settled science meant that, well, you had to sterilize those who were unfit. And they had this idea that blacks were unfit, Jews were unfit, people with abnormalities, in their view, were unfit. So you sterilized them. And this was horrendous in its application in blue states like New York and California. Even in North Carolina, we're still paying reparations for eugenics. Of course, what we found out was the eugenics view was the view that was really the backward view. And so it's quietly slipped into the night. And all the progressives that had held that view have distanced themselves from the view. And you have something very similar here, where the lives of tens of thousands, perhaps millions of people are going to be affected. And it is high time that we understood the issues and could speak out on these issues with great clarity. Again, speaking of homosexuality, you got to do it with kindness and clarity, but you have to do it. Joe Dallas's book, available, great read. Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Daniel, Brooklyn, New York, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, Hank? Long time no speak, and you know, just as you're talking, I have to renew my membership to the Christian Research Journal because I have been slipping, and I know that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, making myself equipped to be used in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So, great monologue, what you just talked right there. And I'm going to make sure that I renew this, my subscription. The question I wanted to ask, though, is a challenge that I have from my barber. And pardon me, let me just go to my car so I can just get out of the noise here. My barber challenged me. He happened to be talking funny about the debate, the second debate between Clinton and Trump. And somehow we got into talking about Christianity and my reasons why I couldn't vote for Hillary. And he sort of went off on a tangent, but then he centered in on David, Old Testament, and how he was known as a man after God's own heart. Yet he had concubines, he had several wives, he had Bathsheba, he had her husband killed, et cetera, et cetera. And it's believed that he made it into the kingdom. So his challenge was, why can't I be a David? Seeing that David got into the kingdom when I want to do what I want. And I gave him an answer. I wasn't too satisfied with the answer. So I was hoping that you can help me pinpoint and fine tune my answer so that when I go get my haircut Friday, I'll have something better to say to him.
Well, look, I mean, absolutely, David made it into the kingdom. He was Israel's quintessential king. If you read Psalm 51, he really genuinely repented. Remember him saying, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love." And then later on, he says, "You do not desire sacrifice, or I would bring it. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." So David repented. But look, this is not just about getting into the kingdom. The Christian worldview is not simply a contract by which you stay out of a bad place and you get into a good place. Rather, it is about how you can experience abundant life in the present. And with respect to David, and we see this in the scriptures, David experienced the consequences of his sin in this life. The stories are horrific. The sword never left his family. So the idea that you can sin without consequence is a faulty notion, and the Bible underscores that. So yes, David was involved in all kinds of horrendous sin, even murdering a man so he could have his wife. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he repented. But the repentance did not in any way absolve him from the consequences. Those consequences follow inexorably like night follows day.
Okay, so quick question. With one of the passages I brought up was the passage in Matthew where Jesus says to me, Jesus says that many will come to me on the last day and ask, "Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name and didn't I do this and that?" And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And my challenge to him was, are you certain that you will not fall into that category? And he says, yes.
Well, you know what's interesting about you bringing that up, I think, by the way, very wise that you did, because this is exactly the opposite circumstance. I think Jesus may well have in mind Judas, who was prophesying in his name, driving out demons in his name, part of Christ's inner circle, and yet did not repent. I mean, he was sorry he got involved in the whole tawdry mess, and he cast back the coinage at the feet of the priests that had tempted him in the first place. But ultimately, it wasn't a change of heart. It wasn't genuine repentance. And that's why Jesus could talk about Judas as a devil, and the Bible can talk about David as someone after God's own heart, because all of us have sinned in one way or another. And what Jesus makes really plain in the Sermon on the Mount is that if you think a murderous thought, you are culpable in the eyes of God. Now, thinking a murderous thought is not the same as murdering someone. The consequences are very different, but it underscores the severity of sin and the holiness of God. So all of us are faced with this exact situation. Are we going to be Judas and sin without genuine repentance, or David and sin with genuine repentance? Now, again, consequences we have to underscore, because this is what your friend is missing. He's missing the consequence of sin. So it's not as though, well, you know what? I sin gravely against God's precepts and principles, but he's going to forgive me. I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'm going to get into heaven. No, look, when you sin, there are consequences. And that's why we confess our sins, and we have our willer turned in the direction of doing it his way as opposed to our own.
If you could for me, Hank, just a favor, because I, you know, hearing your answer, I know that if I was studying my word the way that I should be, I would have been able to give him a good answer just like you just gave me.
But I think you did.
Could you pray over me?
I will, but I think you did. I mean, I think your example of Judas is the perfect example to bring up. I mean, there you have the two contrary situations. One, a sin with consequences in this life and in the life to come. The other, a sin with consequences in this life, but a life with the Lord forever, because there's genuine repentance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Daniel. And Lord, implicit in this discussion is his deep desire to be a witness for you, someone that is always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within him, with gentleness and with respect. Lord, you have promised that you would put your words upon our lips so that we might speak with wisdom and clarity. So we know that when we study to show ourselves approved, the Spirit will move in us to accomplish his work. And we thank you, Lord, that that work is not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit. Please bless our brother Daniel, not only in this witnessing circumstance, but throughout the remainder of his life. We pray this, Lord, again, in the precious name of the one who redeemed us, so we even have the opportunity to have this conversation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. Daniel, thanks for calling.
Thank you, Brother Hank. Thank you.
You know, this underscores really what we're talking about at the Christian Research Institute. I mean, this is not theoretical stuff. I mean, this is real-world stuff. There are real people in the real world that have questions. And many of them do not understand that Christianity does meet all the needs in an age of scientific enlightenment. In other words, it isn't somehow or other a faith that is no longer relevant. It is more relevant now than ever before. And we need to be able to explain that, because really what we have in our culture is, you know, the professor that draws on his board a heart on one side of the blackboard or the whiteboard and the head on the other. And if you want to have a religious faith, which is just a social construct anyway, well, you can have your religious faith as long as it doesn't interfere with social policies and with how you live your life. But if you want to have reason, well, that's on the other side. So you have these two compartments, and this is a ludicrous way of thinking, and it has to be noted. You can't make a false dichotomy as though we're bipolar between faith and reason. We have a reasonable faith, the faith that is rooted in a refutable fact. Again, this is why we have all the resources available that you can find on the web at equip.org, and also why we produce the Christian Research Journal, which I mentioned earlier. You can subscribe online at equip.org if you're not doing so already. And do remember Speaking of Homosexuality as well by Joe Dallas, available for your support. We'll be right back.
Philosophy and study in humanities are increasingly being devalued in Western education as fuzzy principles of little practical use. But these very fields can lead students beyond the mesmerizing appeal of shallow entertainment and mere technical knowledge to the kind of deep understanding, wisdom, and clear moral vision that characterizes the best of our leaders and citizens. Understand the benefits of philosophy and a liberal arts education in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank will be back after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. An experience of intellectual doubt is often taken by Christians to be a sign of weak faith. When treated properly, however, an encounter with doubt is extremely valuable, since it can lead to more knowledge and an even greater faith. Other topics include the origin and insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, philosophy, politics, and the end of liberal arts education, social movements and God's kingdom, which cause matters most, Jephthah's bloodless sacrifice, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago, and the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us
at equip.org.
The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First of all, African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Does their worldview have any foundation in history or scripture? Find out in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Start your subscription today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that we cannot do what we do without you. We're asking you to join the team to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When you become a CRI support team member, you commit to supporting the Christian Research Institute and its many outreach ministries with your ongoing support and appreciation. Be pleased to personalize any one of my books to you, a family member or a friend. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next with Jonathan, Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I really like your program a lot. It's become a pretty much a daily thing, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
What a crazy time period, huh? This is
indeed
probably one of the most divisive elections we've seen in a very, very probably ever.
It is.
I consider myself certainly a Christian, certainly a follower of Jesus Christ. I surround myself with. I have good fellowship, small groups, programs like yours. This has become such a divisive point for so many people I know, friends, colleagues, my wife even. So many people are really questioning things when it comes to this election. And, you know, listening to your program yesterday really kind of felt like you're kind of tell where you were leaning. And today I thought, I don't know if I'm really going to listen to that station tonight, today on the way home. And, you know, it just brings up the fact that, you know, it's a mess for one, but also could you shed some light on how to deal with this divisiveness? I, for one, am just horrified at the idea of Donald Trump becoming president. But really, and it has nothing to do with party lines. It's a gut feeling. I believe I've learned to learn some skills of discernment. I have definitely learned that God communicates with us via the Holy Spirit at times, and I just cannot imagine him becoming president.
Well, I will tell you this. I very much respect what you just said and how you said it, and my feelings are not a whole lot different. I'm alarmed at the idea of having Trump in the White House, quite frankly. But I'm just as alarmed at having Clinton in the White House. And we're stuck with a choice between those two. And so I'm looking not just at the candidates themselves, but those who surround the candidates, those who are Team Clinton, so to speak, and those who are Team Trump. And so I'm looking at a holistic view. This, for me, is not just about the person. It's certainly not about the party in this case, but it is about the platform and principles. These are very, very significant times, as you have eloquently pointed out. I mean, this is about freedom of speech. This is about religious liberty. This is about the courts. And so I'm not telling you that your discernment is bad. Your discernment may be very, very much on target. And I think the very thing that you are doing is critical. You are thinking deeply about these things. But remember, no matter who's in the White House, there are flawed human beings. So you have to look at the principles that they are espousing. These are very important things, and I think that you have rightly pointed out that we're faced with some horrifying choices. Now, I will say this: in the Christian worldview, there's always redemption. So there are people who have bad worldviews, people who are redeemed by the love and the grace of God and turn into fantastic people even while they're in office. I mean, we've seen examples of that throughout American history. So, you know, all these things are things that ultimately relate to what you wisely talked about, and that is discernment.
Thank you for that. You have helped clear some things up, and I think that I'm going to continue, you know, working on that. I got a little time here before Election Day. So,
we're all in that situation, Jonathan. I mean, this is, as you said, it's almost an unprecedented time in terms of American history. But we have to recognize that the systemic problem is not even the people who are representing us, who are, you know, the candidates. The real problem is a problem in the culture, and the candidates simply reflect the culture. And Christians have a great deal to say about what happens to the culture. We can be change agents in the culture or mere microcosms of the culture.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bruce, listening in Montgomery, Alabama, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how you doing there, Mr. Hannibal?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah, so the question I've got, and then I'll hang up and let you answer it so somebody else get on the phone. But the question I've got is out of Ezekiel. I was reading Ezekiel last night. In the 40th chapter of Ezekiel, when God shows him in a vision, you know, the new temple, the new city, Jerusalem and all, and he's got that, he has this individual showing him around the temple and all this, and he's showing him the two tables of sacrificial where they sacrifice for a burnt sacrifice, sin sacrifice. Well, Jesus has already died and shed his blood for our sins. Why is there another sin sacrifice?
Well, actually, you answered the question by the way you posed the question. You're absolutely right. It is an abomination to go back to temple priest and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. But here's where the historical principle of biblical interpretation is so handy. When you look at the time frame in which Ezekiel is writing, he's in exile. He's in Babylon. He's somewhere in an exiled position in the south of Babylon near the Kibar River. And he's looking wistfully, as it were, into the eastern sky where a temple once stood. And he's thinking not about the 21st century. He's not thinking about a tribulation or a millennial temple. He's thinking about the temple that has disappeared into the landscape around it, and he's wistfully praying for the reinstitution of the temple, which is going to happen under Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. So he's not thinking about a third or a fourth temple. He's thinking about the second temple, the same temple that Jesus saw when he was in Jerusalem. It's the same temple that Herod had refurbished over a period of 46 years. So this is a temple that is a second temple, not a millennial temple. But look, you're absolutely right. If people think that once Jesus has come, he's going to preside over a temple in the millennial kingdom, and those temple sacrifices are going to be efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness. In other words, they're going to atone for sin. What they've done is they've trampled upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not my phrase. That comes from the writer of Hebrews. He's taking these very ideas and showing how disgusting those ideas are in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ.
I was just, you know, asking. I thought maybe it might just have been a memorial for, you know, a memorial thinking about, you know, Jesus dying on the cross and shedding his blood, that they would remember that was why.
Well, it's not a memorial, because remember that the antitype is so significant that the type loses its significance once the antitype has come. So once Jesus has come, you don't think about glistening gold and luminous limestone. You think about the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue.
Okay, well, thank you, sir.
You got it.
Have a good day, okay, and have a blessed one.
You as well, Bruce. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Michael, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Hank. Am I audible?
I can hear you.
Okay, I had a question about where I go. I'm not, per se, a believer. I would consider myself an atheist. So I was just curious. I do good things in the world. I volunteer at a youth clinic. I build ramps for homeless or for handicapped people. I do quite a bit of good things. I tend to not try to hurt anybody. If I do, I try to make it up to them. In your beliefs, do you think I am going to suffer for all eternity when I die?
Well, Michael, first of all, good for you. I think what you're doing is absolutely wonderful. What an example for all of us, everybody listening in. I think these are wonderful things when we can reach out to the poor, the downtrodden, those who need our help. I mean, this is really what made Western civilization great to begin with. I mean, you think about the hospitals and the relief organizations and the like. But here's the deal. I mean, you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven based on your own choice. If you want to be a participant in the kingdom and follow Jesus Christ, you're going to spend not only this life, but the life to come with Jesus Christ. On the other hand, if you don't want that, trust me, Jesus Christ is not going to force himself on you. So hell is God simply giving you precisely what you want. He is ratifying your free will. If you do not want to live a life in concert with his goodness, glory, and his grace for all eternity, then he will allow you exactly what you want, which is to deny his reality. So we have lots of evidence that there is a God. Obviously, you look at the heavens, and a rational thinking person like yourself recognizes that that's not an accident. The heavens don't just happen. When you see complexity, you realize there's got to be a cause that is even more complex. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself, and that's just common sense. So when you look at the universe, you know there's a universe maker, an uncaused first cause. You also know that there's God because it's written on the canvas of your consciousness. It's just part of our DNA. And if you respond to that light, you can have more light. If you want to be a participant in the kingdom, God will never turn you away. But if you don't, he's not going to impose himself on you either. So your free choices are very important in Christianity. Now, the atheistic worldview, which you mentioned, does not allow for freedom. Because once you embark in a purely materialistic worldview, when you're embarked on that materialistic worldview, here's what happens. You have no freedom. I often say if Madonna is merely a material girl living in a material world, her choices are not free, they're fatalistically determined. So in the Christian worldview, you have freedom to choose. In the atheistic worldview, you do not.
We're limited by the physical world. That's kind of what I believe, is there's no supernatural. So I can't choose what I believe. My brain decides for me, right? You didn't choose to believe Christianity. You just believed it because it was taught to you and you believed it.
Oh, no. I was much in the same condition as you, Michael, where I rejected the Christian worldview and I believed in a materialistic worldview. I didn't realize that there was mind and that mind explains morals. I thought that all you had was magic. Everything comes from nothing, and that from that you end up having morals. I mean, this didn't make any sense. I gotta leave it at that. I'm at a station break.
Over time, the views of emergent church leaders have become clearer, more influential, and increasingly dangerous. Their embrace of panentheism and a view of human persons and creation as merely physical render interpersonal relationships with God and others impossible, both philosophically and biblically. Get a doctrinal update on Brian McLaren and other emergents in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Subscribe to the Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The Black Hebrew Israelite movement has infiltrated black communities on the basis of two principal claims. First, all African Americans biologically descend from the ancient Hebrews. And second, the means of salvation for African Americans is obedience to the law of Moses. Their worldview, however, has no foundation in history or scripture. Other topics include doubt as virtue, how to doubt and have faith without exploding, Francis Schaeffer, pastor, evangelist, apologist, prophet, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.
In today's culture, it seems that if you're a liberal, anything you say is protected. But if you're a conservative, anything you say is hateful. At the heart of this cultural divide is the issue of homosexuality and the increasing demands of the gay rights movement. The gay rights movement has evolved from a plea for tolerance to a demand for not only approval but retribution. In his books, Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home, author, speaker, and counselor Joe Dallas brings his wisdom and experience to these sensitive issues in a deep and eminently practical way. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit us at equip.org.
Our culture has exalted feelings above reason, pragmatism over wisdom, entertainment over intellectual engagement, and we're now seeing the fruit of these choices. Because truth matters, followers of Christ must understand both the causes and consequences of anti-intellectualism in the church. Learn how you can take deliberate steps to overcome this trend in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here again is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Gerard in Greenwood, Indiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm pleasantly surprised that you have taken my call, Mr. Hanegraaff.
Well, you're up next.
Great. The question I'd like to ask to you is based on the new edition or the article that your organization has written about the so-called Black Hebrew Israelites. And I'd like to ask you, Mr. Hanegraaff, as a descendant of those who were carried away captive and brought here and sold as bondmen and bond women and kept as slaves here in North America, what we should consider our true biblical nationality to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think what's important here is to recognize that in Christ, it's not about your genealogy. It's not about your gender. It's not about your station in life. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a participant in the kingdom, then you have the abundance of joy that the kingdom has to offer you. So in Christian worldview, this has nothing to do with race or gender. It has everything to do with relationship.
So you disagree with Deuteronomy 28?
In what way?
The article says that the so-called black Hebrew Israelite.
By the way, that's what they're called. It's called the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement, and that's an umbrella term.
That's correct.
That's the designation that the groups use for themselves.
Actually, that's not true. I've actually been doing some research about that, and to call oneself a black Hebrew Israelite would equate another as would be the same as if you were to call yourself a white European Caucasian. Historically, according to the research that I have seen, the Hebrews, which now are misnamed as the so-called Jew-ish people, connotation being ish as like unto, but not actually the Jew, those people are a dark-skinned people, as in even the book of Genesis describes God as forming Adam from the dust of the ground.
Right, but I'd like to stay away from all these kinds of racial designations. I don't think it's helpful. I think it's hurtful. I mean, you're a human being, I'm a human being, and we're completely equal in the sight of God.
Here in North America, I'm required to designate my racial identity by color on all the legal documents that I sign. So if I designate myself as black, or you designate yourself as white, but then I'm supposed to operate under a construct that none of those things matter.
Well, if I'm going to identify,
Matthew 15:24 said he was sent not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who then are we to decide that somehow or another color? Because color seems to matter.
You know, if I'm talking about you and say that you have brown eyes and I have blue eyes, I'm simply pointing out a characteristic that is different about you than me. And, you know, I love brown eyes. Sometimes when I was growing up, I wished I had brown eyes. But, you know, the reality is I'm just talking about a characteristic, but you and I are just people. That's the end of it.
So we have no nationality.
Nationality. These are characteristics. My point is that ultimately we are people. The characteristics ought not to separate us in any way, nor should this mean that some people have a in with God and other people don't have an in with God. The point of the Bible is that at the foot of the cross, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're slave or free, whether you're male or female, because we are ontologically equal in the sight of God. And if a person like yourself or like myself can look at another person and consider that person inferior in any way, we don't have the love and righteousness of God in us.
Really? Okay, so I truly appreciate you saying that. And what I'd like to ask now is, if I'm to call myself an African American, right? As I've researched and found that America was discovered and named after Amerigo Vespucci, who was an Italian conqueror or explorer, and Africa was actually named Africa after it was conquered by Leo Scipio Africanus after the Second Punic War. If I were to call myself and accept the terminology of African American, I would actually be saying that I'm a descendant of two so-called Caucasian people. So what is my nationality?
Well, I think the problem here is that you're falling into the trap of wooden literalism, trying to make designations walk on all fours. You simply cannot do that. People are now preferring. No, here's the point. People are preferring those designations, and to be politically correct in our culture, you have to go along with those designations. Otherwise, your words are considered hurtful, and so those designations are used. But I will tell you quite frankly, I'm just speaking personally here. I don't like designations at all. I don't call myself a Dutch.
But the Bible does.
I don't call myself a Dutch American. I am simply an American. And even more basically, I'm a human being created in the image and likeness of God as you are. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I think when these groups, and certainly when you talk about the Black Hebrew Israelite movement, when you talk about these kinds of movements or groups, you find that there is so much implicit racism. For example, whites are supposedly descended from Gehazi, going to the roots, as the movement would say, and he's cursed with leprosy, and that's what made him white. You also have a horrible designation with respect to salvation, where salvation is through obedience to the laws of Moses, which none of us can obey perfectly, whereas in Christianity, we are saved
by... Well, why did Christ say, be ye perfect? If we cannot be perfect according to the law, why did Christ say,
well,
be ye perfect?
Right, and certainly you're a smart guy, so you're... obviously aware of the Sermon on the Mount, and recognize that Jesus has just gone through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and pointed out the utter incapability of keeping the law. In fact, if you are going to keep the law, then you have to be 100% perfect. And that's why the enigmatic response was, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. None of us can keep the law perfectly, but in Christ, we receive a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own, which comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So this is not about trying to keep the Mosaic law, which...
That is a misinterpretation, sir. A vast indiscrepancy in your breakdown there of scriptural doctrine. That's in line with Christianity.
Well, no, it's in line with it's not in line with Christianity. What's in line with is no what's in line with is the art and science of biblical interpretation. Which is to say,
what is my biblical nationality? Can you answer?
No, what I have just done is I have explicated three chapters of the Bible and given you the bottom line, and you have completely...
You've got a lot of million-dollar words.
No, I don't have any million-dollar words. Actually, look, you can mock my vocabulary. I'm Dutch, so I don't have a great English vocabulary. But look, the reality is this is not about vocabulary. This is not about anything other than simply being people that can converse with one another and listen to reason and not just ignore reason. So when you ask me a question, I give you an answer, and you completely ignore that and go on to something else, it isn't helpful in terms of the conversation. But I appreciate
you
calling in. Thank you very much.
Who were carried into slavery here, that was not biblical?
You know, slavery is not biblical at all. In fact, the Bible puts...
Are you kidding, Hank?
No, I'm not. I'm trying to explain to you my position. I'm not trying to kid you. I'm trying to say that the Bible puts slave traders in the category of pervert. Jared, just a second. I'm trying to answer your question. You asked me a question.
Nationality. What nation do my people...
Jared, you asked me a question. I'm trying to... You can't just keep throwing new ones out. Jared, you asked me a question, and I'm telling you that the Bible clearly puts slave traders in the category of perverts, adulterers, liars. It puts slave traders in the worst of all categories imaginable.
Well, I'm not speaking about slave traders. I'm actually talking about the Most High God who ordained slavery as punishment for those who broke the Mosaic law. So to say that God is a pervert would be absolute hypocrisy.
You know, there are more liabilities in,
wow.
in your...
This is very revealing, Mr. Handicraft. I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for your call as well. We have written about this in The Origin and the Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement. It is an article in the Christian Research Journal. The journal is based on primary research. It is a credible magazine. It is available for those who support the ministry, as well as those who subscribe. You can subscribe online at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Slavery is something that the Bible condemns in the strongest possible language. In fact, it is the application of biblical principles that led to the overthrow of slavery. And where slavery is mentioned in the Bible, it is not slavery in the same sense that you see slavery in the modern world. It is not based on ethnicity. So while the Bible as a whole recognizes the reality of slavery, it never promotes the practice of slavery. As I said, it was the application of biblical principles that ultimately led to the overthrow of slavery both in ancient Israel and in the United States of America. And Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt was actually a model for the liberation of slaves in general. In America, many have hopefully woken up to the liberating biblical truth that all people are created by God with innate equality. Going to have to leave it at that. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to all those hanging on. Important discussion, a lot of passion in this kind of discussion, but let me reiterate the fact that this, in the Christian worldview, is not about race. In fact, one thing that Peter discovered through seeing a vision three times is God does not play favorites. Again, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be back tomorrow with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Like a tiny acorn that grows into a massive oak tree, the seeds of the sexual revolution planted in the 1960s have produced a harvest of immorality beyond imagination. Today's pervasive acceptance of homosexuality was inconceivable only a generation ago. And the dizzying pace at which sexual mores have collapsed often leaves Bible-believing Christians at a loss. The books Speaking of Homosexuality and When Homosexuality Hits Home by Joe Dallas will help you engage the culture in a transformative way for Christ. To receive either Speaking of Homosexuality or When Homosexuality Hits Home as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable.
Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.